Now, if you've been around for the series in the book of Leviticus, you might remember that the word holiness is quite a theme in the book of Leviticus. Through the book, you might remember that we move from holy offerings to holy food to holy priests to holy places to holy people. And it shouldn't surprise us that by the time we come to chapter 23, that we come to holy time. Holy time. God calls His people to be holy because He is holy. Holiness should touch every area of our lives, even time. Now, God had appointed where He should meet with His people. But He had also appointed times to meet with them. The Sabbath is the so-called, in this text, a holy convocation, or that convocation is a big word, an old-fashioned word for holy assemblies. So the people of God are reminded of a weekly time for meeting God, and it's called the Sabbath. Another word for the Sabbath is solemn rest. Or, to put it more literal, most restful rest. That is what God had appointed for His people. It is to be a Sabbath of a holy meeting and a restful rest. So how do you feel about that as something that God has in store for us? Well, first God says to Moses, "Speak to my people and tell them that on the Sabbath day I will meet with them and they need rest." That's what the good Lord had in mind for His people. And He conveys to them that this is to happen through a special day where they rest from their work and where they gather. They meet together to worship God. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3 sounds very much like the fourth commandment that Jesse read to us earlier when he read through Deuteronomy chapter 5 verses 12 to 15. You'll be interested to know that the fourth commandment is the longest of all the commandments of the Ten Commandments. And it is repeated more often than any of the other commandments. Something like 113 verses in the Bible speaks about the Sabbath. God tells His people how He wants them to think about the Sabbath and how they should practice the Sabbath. And we get that from passages like Leviticus 23 and verse 3, Exodus chapter 20 verse 8 to 16, Deuteronomy 12, 5, 12 to 15, and I'm not going to carry on and mention all the rest of the 113 to you. But in these verses we see that God is telling His people that they should work. Are you familiar with this? Work for 6 days. And children, what is it that God wants His people to do on the seventh day? Well, He wants them to rest. He doesn't want them to work and He doesn't want them to make others work. Those who live among them, even the animals, God's intention is to give the animals rest and practice a day in which He is calling a holy day. To hallow the day, it is to sanctify the day in honor of God so that they bear no burdens. They should humble their souls and that they should deny themselves, that is, deny their own pleasures and not defile this holy day that God has given to them. But it's interesting that God's word is also going to the heart behind keeping the Sabbath. For example, in Isaiah chapter 58, we read in verses 13 and 14. If you turn your back or your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasures or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And you will ride on the heights of the earth. And I will give you the heritage of Jacob, God says, your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It is the intention of God through the Sabbath that His people be refreshed and that they are spiritually blessed. Now, everyone needs to take regular breaks from their work. And they need to be spiritually built up. Wouldn't you agree with that? The idea of the Sabbath is that it is meant to be a blessing. A blessing and a delight. It is really a gift from God. That's what it is. Without it, people will burn out. And they will spiritually grow cold. And they might drift away from the Lord their God. I don't know if you've experienced that. If you've seen that, how people burn out. And how they grow cold when it comes to spiritual things. Did you notice in verse 3 the words, "It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places"? That means that the Sabbath belongs to God. And it should be observed in honor of Him. He invented it as a day of rest. And He set it apart from all other days. The idea of honoring the Lord and keeping the Sabbath holy and resting doesn't only just apply like when the people of God are gathered, but we are told even in their dwelling places, in their homes. Now, there are four important factors to consider when thinking of the Sabbath. The first is this, Exodus 20 verse 11 and also Genesis 2 verses 1 to 3 is that God made the heavens and the earth and He did it in 6 days, and on the seventh day we are told that He rested. And then what He did with that day is He blessed it. And He made it holy. That's what God did. He consecrated it. And so in doing this, God established a work-rest rhythm in creation. And He set it as an example for His people to follow. Therefore, the Sabbath command is anchored in creation. Does that make sense? But more than that, another important factor to bear in mind when we think of the Sabbath is Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. God asks His people to remember that they were slaves in Egypt. And He liberated them. And then interesting, therefore He says to them, keep the Sabbath. There's a connection between God's deliverance and remembering their deliverance by keeping the Sabbath. But there's more. In Ezekiel chapter 20 verse 12 and also Exodus 31 and verse 13, God says that He gave His people the Sabbath as a sign between them and Him, that they might know that He is the one who sanctifies them. Isn't that interesting. God wants us to remember who the one is that cleanses our lives, who forgives our sins, and He's given the Sabbath to God's people to remember that by. But there's more. A fourth important factor. Exodus 16 and verse 29. God says to His people that He will be their provider. They should work on 6 days. And so they had to gather food in the desert, the manna, but on the 7th day, they shouldn't gather any food because God will provide for even that day for them. So the Sabbath is a sign to God's people that He is their God and that they are His people. He is their Creator. He is their Deliverer. He is their Sanctifier. And He is their Provider. And He gave them the Sabbath so He could meet with them, so that they can rest and be refreshed. Now, how does the idea of the Sabbath apply to us today? Is the Sabbath still meant to be a blessing? Is it still made for man? Is it still valid? Now, there are some Christians that would say, well, the Sabbath is simply just another Jewish ritual, a requirement that is no longer required. Since when Jesus came, He fulfilled all of the ceremonial laws. Others say, because the Sabbath command is not found in the New Testament, it is no longer binding on Christians. Others say, no, it certainly is. And it should be observed with the greatest of care. Else, you might find yourself being guilty of breaking the Sabbath. Now, who's right? Who's wrong? It's interesting that the same kind of question, in fact, controversy and conflict arose in Jesus' day over this matter of Sabbath keeping. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to 3, verse 6, a passage that was also read to us earlier, is a good scripture to go to. Let us learn from our Savior on the matter. In that passage, conflict arose between the religious leaders and the Pharisees in particular and Jesus over Sabbath law. On this occasion, Jesus and His disciples, they were walking through the grain fields, and His disciples plucked some heads of grain, and they ate it because they were hungry. Now the problem is, this happened on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, the spiritual Gestapo of the day, were there on the scene to see exactly what happened. And so they accused Jesus' disciples of breaking the Sabbath. Now, the law does say that one should do no work, right? But was this work? So just so you know, throughout Jewish history, the rabbis devoted themselves to fine-tune the law of Moses. And they came up with very specific prohibitions that would guard the observance of the Sabbath day. Of course, found nowhere in the Bible, but their traditions became as binding as the Bible themselves. One such prohibition was this one that we read of here, that since it was the Sabbath day and that it prohibited all unnecessary work, including what they said is the prohibition of harvesting crops on the Sabbath day. So when the disciples walked through the grain fields and they plucked those heads of grain and rubbed it between their hands, they found them guilty of harvesting, which according to the Pharisees was a terrible infringement of the Sabbath day. Now, Jesus' response is really instructive. First, he directs his accusers to the Bible, which is always a good thing to do. That is why we need to know our Bibles. Asking them, have you ever read what happened to David and those who were with him when they went into the house of God and they ate some of the consecrated bread, the holy bread? We read about that account in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1 to 6. Now, David at this point was a fugitive, and he was fleeing for his life from Saul that wanted to kill him. And they were destitute and hungry. And so the only place that they could find food was at the temple. And so the priest, out of necessity, allowed them to eat of the holy bread. Now David was obviously somebody that these Pharisees would have looked up to. They would have respected him. And Jesus is putting him forward as an example of how the law makes provision for mercy. Like David, his disciples were hungry, and they needed to eat. And therefore they were not harvesting. But the real crux of the matter comes when Jesus makes the following statement about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for man, and the man is not made for the Sabbath. What a remarkable statement. Jesus is revealing what the Sabbath law is intended to do. It is for man's benefit and joy. Therefore, it is a privilege and a gift. Jesus is not criticizing the Old Testament scriptures, but the rabbinical tradition that is added to the scriptures. Man is not made, Jesus says, to be a slave of the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is made to be a blessing to man. So that really means, out of matters of necessity and even survival, that man can work. Where God had left people to be free, the rabbis put them into chains. For example, the rabbis added to the definitions of not engaging in unnecessary labor on the Sabbath that one should not untie a knot on the Sabbath day. That's a sin. So just imagine, you have a knot in your shoelace, but you can't untie it if it's on the Sabbath day. You will have to wait for the next day, because that is unwarranted work. That's legalism. Because on the one hand, for example, they said that it is permissible if you have a tear in your clothing that you can use one stitch on the Sabbath day to fix it, but not two. That's how legalism works. Or you can write one letter on a Sabbath day and not two, because one is easy, two is work. On the medical side, they said that you can help a human being, but not an animal, if their life is in danger, and only then on the Sabbath day. So if somebody dislocates their arm on the Sabbath day, you can't help them to put it back in place. They're going to have to wait until the next day, because it's not a life-threatening problem. So if a building caves in on people on the Sabbath day, you can remove all the rubble in order to see if there are any survivors, and if there are some amongst them that looks like their lives are in danger, you can help them. But the other ones will have to wait until after the Sabbath day. And on it went from one generation to the next, of rabbis adding more bizarre restrictions to protect the Sabbath. Now, this can easily happen in the church. And this sort of thing has happened. When Christians try to regulate the Sabbath by all sorts of lists of do's and don'ts, but probably in our generation, more a list of no rules regulate the Sabbath. That's exactly what the Pharisees did. They made man-made rules whilst being guilty of disregarding God's laws because they were slandering and judging Christ. Religious leaders, they created laws that had nothing to do with the Word of God. And Jesus confronted them with it. He told them, "You guys are missing the whole purpose of the Sabbath. Do you not understand that the Sabbath day is a gift from God to His people so that you won't wear yourself out, your bodies, your servants, and your fields? One day out of seven is given to everyone so that they can take a break. It is a gift. It is meant to be a blessing and not a burden." Now the bombshell really dropped when Jesus made the following statement about the Sabbath. He said, "For the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." With this statement, Jesus said something that only God Himself can say, to be the Lord of the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath was instituted long before Moses walked on this earth, right at the time of creation. And for Jesus to say this is to say that I created the Sabbath. I own the Sabbath. Sabbath is my gift. I am sovereign over the Sabbath. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So that means what Jesus says about the Sabbath settles the matter on the Sabbath of what we can do. And so we can forget our traditions and we can forget about what all the rabbis have to say. Those things are not the Lord. Christ is. And Jesus was not only saying it, He was also demonstrating it. Because then we are told that Jesus went on in the synagogue and He healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. Now, according to the Pharisees, of course, because this was not a life-threatening disease that this man had, what Jesus should have done is to say to the man, "I will heal you tomorrow, because today is the Sabbath." Instead, Jesus told the man to reach out with his hand, and he did. And Jesus healed him. And his hand was restored. And Jesus asked the question, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath?" And good things like this can be done on 6 days of the week. Not just 6 days of the week, but also 7 days of the week. And so Jesus asked them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm? You tell me. Is it lawful to save a life or to kill?" It's interesting that Jesus was clearly knowing what was going on in their minds. What Jesus is interested to do on the Sabbath day is to do good. What were they interested to do on the Sabbath day? They were interested in destroying Him. So who was it that was guilty of breaking the Sabbath? As it turns out, it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath or to show mercy. It is lawful to act out of necessity, as we have seen in the case of the disciples that ate the heads of grain and Jesus healing the man with a withered hand. And therefore, those things are not unwarranted work on the Sabbath day. Elsewhere in the New Testament, in John chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, Jesus spoke to the Jews again. And the Jews were judging him for his actions on the Sabbath day. And he said to them, "Why are you angry with me for healing a man? When you guys yourselves circumcise people on the Sabbath day so that the law of God will not be broken." And then he told them, "Stop judging by mere human appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Here is the challenge. In trying to observe the Sabbath day, we should be mindful of not violating any of the other laws of God. And that's why the Sabbath is really given to us, to enable us not to do so. Because through that, we will receive enough rest so we can take a break, so we are emotionally, spiritually, and physically rejuvenated so that we can do all the things that God has called us to do. And by observing the Sabbath day, we will also be in the company of God to worship Him with His people, to read His Word and to reflect on His Word so that we know what God is saying to us and how it should impact our lives. Then you see that the Sabbath day is made for man and it is supposed to be a blessing. But let me come back to that question. Is the Sabbath day still valid today? Well, yes, we believe it is. But we need to remember the following. God has given us this work-rest rhythm in creation, working 6 days and resting on the seventh day. And that is something that is a creation ordinance. That is how God meant it to be, for us to continue that pattern. But secondly, the Sabbath day is meant to remind us that Christ is our Savior, that He is the one who sanctifies us. And we need to remember that Jesus teaches us that it is lawful to do what is good on the Sabbath and to heal on the Sabbath. And that the Sabbath is made for our benefit, for our blessing. It's a gift. It's not a burden. And Jesus is Lord over the Sabbath. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 to 17, we see that the principle of the Sabbath is still binding. But there has been a change in the application of the Sabbath since Christ's coming. Let me read it for us. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question to food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon," and listen to this, "or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." Let me give a brief explanation. The Sabbath points us to Christ. Paul says it is a shadow of Christ. Christ is the substance. Now, unlike the ceremonial laws of the sacrifices and food and drink and other sacred times that were fulfilled when Jesus arrived, when He came, the Sabbath is a little bit different. It points to Christ who liberated us from the bondage of sin and to Him who sanctifies us. But it is still binding as a moral law of God, the fourth commandment. Because Jesus says it has been made for our benefit. However, we keep the Sabbath now on the first day of the week rather than on the last day of the week, since that was the day that Christ rose from the dead. So the Sabbath is a day of rest for the people of God, and it points them to the ultimate rest that they have in Jesus Christ. And He is the one who teaches us by word and example how to observe the Sabbath day. How should we keep it? I think our confession puts it very helpfully as follows. The Sabbath is to be kept holy to the Lord when people have first prepared their hearts appropriately and arranged their everyday affairs in advance. Then they observe a holy rest from all their secular employment and recreation, and they delight in the Lord through public and private acts of worship and duties of mercy and necessity. What does that sound like to you? That we should arrange our everyday affairs in advance. We should prepare our hearts so we can benefit from the Lord's day. So we can spend it as a day that is holy and devoted to the Lord. And that we can actually rest from our secular employments. And also our usual recreations. So we can delight in God. So that we can meet for public worship like this. And private worship. And give ourselves to deeds of mercy and necessity. But let's close with a few points of application. First is, there is still differences of opinion over the Sabbath today. Now, while the danger in Jesus' day was people like the Pharisees that were too strict about what to do and what not to do on that day, they were very legalistic, as we have seen about it. Perhaps the danger today is that people are too lax about it. Many people don't even regard Sunday as a day of spiritual blessing, refreshment, and sanctification. So let us be mindful in our own thoughts and our behavior about the Sabbath day or the Lord's day. I heard a preacher say that although it is a matter of personal conscience, how to keep the Sabbath holy, it doesn't mean that there aren't any biblical guidelines. Do you catch that? Although it is true, we should each one make it out for ourselves. The Word of God has a lot to say to us, in other words, of how to spend the day, so it is a blessing for us. Now, I don't want to lay down any rules. I tried this a couple of weeks ago with my family, and we had a very interesting conversation about the Sabbath day. And I leave that to you and your own conscience to do that in your own families, to work out the principles of God's Word in your life and in your family. But remember that God has given the day to be a blessing, to be made holy, so that you can rest and spiritually refreshed and worship God and meet with God's people. Therefore, we need to think very carefully through the commitments, our daily commitments, so that we are not robbing ourselves, our families, and our children of these blessings. Things like work, sport, recreation commitments, and being part of non-godly thinking and activities can easily rob us of the joy that God has for us. So let us think carefully about the way that we practice and we speak about the Lord's Day and the example we set to our children, and that the impact that that has on our own personal walk with God. Let us remember the Sabbath is made for man. I remember a preacher giving this analogy about the Sabbath day. He said the Sabbath is like a regulator or an alternator of a car to help us to keep the world and worldly influences from controlling us. Does that make sense? But it is also there to help us to regulate our relationship with God and with His people so that we don't grow cold and too distant from Him. If that is the case, the Sabbath is a gift, a great blessing. Remember, God has given us a time gift. A time gift. It is called the Sabbath, in which to bless us physically and spiritually. Robert Murray McShane, I mentioned this pastor of the 19th century, Scottish pastor. He died very early. But he was a great man of God. And he said at one point, "We love everything that is Christ's." Don't you agree with that? Love everything that belongs to Christ. He said, "We love His Word. It is more precious to us than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. And we love His house. That is the place where He meets us. And we love His table. That is the place that reminds us that He has loosed us of our bonds and He has filled us with joy inexplicable." Oh, and we love His people. Because they are His, washed by His blood. Our brothers and our sisters for eternity. And then he adds this, "And we love the Lord's day, the Sabbath, because it is also His. It is sweeter than honey, more precious than gold. That is the day that our Lord rose for our justification. And He reminds us on that day of His love, His finished work, and His rest." We love the Lord's day, he says. Why? Because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.